Okay, so I thought Sam could do the last line on this one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I'll go first.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we engage in a healthy debate on a fuzzy subject.
You guys mean Jesus Lizard versus Mudhoney, right?
It's Thursday, Jim.
Very good. It is Thursday. Yeah.
Throwing everybody
off. You remembered.
I did remember. Yeah. I've been sleeping down here on the couch, but it's been really nice.
Where are we?
We are in College Park, Maryland, at the practice rehearsal space of Pyramid Scheme.
Pyramid Scheme.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
This is Andrew Toy's place. And did you grow up around here?
No, I grew up in Delaware.
Oh. And you're the one.
What's that?
You're the one.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. lived in Philly for a while and then moved here about 4 years ago with my wife. We'd already kind of fallen in love with the D.C. area. We're having a ball here.
You're right by the University of Maryland.
Yeah, but not too close. We're closer to Beltsville up this way. Nothing fancy, very blue-collar area, but it's a good place to have a rehearsals place.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, without a doubt.
This is great. So, All right, this is Rockin' the Suburbs. We are rocking the suburbs here of College Park, Maryland. Mm-hmm. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all this week, members of Pyramid Scheme, and they are...
Darian Day.
Lisa Said.
Andrew Toy.
All right. Thanks very much.
Yes.
And we're also talking Perfect Pop week. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to talk that with people who are, you know, practicing musicians.
It is. It brings a totally different perspective. I so enjoyed all your guys' picks this week. Yeah. The insight has been so interesting.
So people should go back and listen to those if you haven't. And then today and tomorrow, you know, after we put them on the spot, now we get to hear them critique our picks, right?
Yeah. How did you guys ever get a podcast?
That's right. So we're going to start off here with your pick. Your latest Perfect Pop pick. Yeah. You've made some others in the past. And now here's another one, right?
Yep. This is going to be a song from a band called Le Tigre. It's on their very first album, a self-titled album that came out in 1999. And Le Tigre, you guys probably know, was a band that Kathleen Hanna had after Bikini Kill. And then in between Bikini Kill and Le Tigre, she did a project called The Julie Ruin, where she kind of recorded some stuff on her own. But she got together in this band with Sadie Benning and Joanna Fateman. And I want to play the first song on the album. It's called Decepticon. And what I love about this, I'll just say, part of my criteria for what I love about a pop song is when it directly calls back to a song that existed a decade or so before and yet makes a cool use of it. And you'll hear that on this song. He took the bomb.
I'm
turn that one off.
It is.
Yeah. So, obviously, referring back to Barry Mann's Who Put the Bomb, which is, you know, famously a song kind of about gobbledygook, you know, lyrics.
Right.
Yet, Kathleen turns it on its head and talks about how empty, you know, current, like, punk and rock lyrics are. And I just think it's amazing.
What do you guys think?
I think that was a great pick.
Thank you.
I think... hopefully everyone got a chance to see the film The Punk Singer. I think that was a great showcase for they had a lot of great La Tigra footage. One thing that that taught me a lot about the band. What I like about La Tigra was the visual aspect that they incorporated to their set beyond the, you know, you had the three of them on stage, but then they would also have a giant, you know, jumbotron screen for things to captivate the eye.
Yeah.
And that song in particular, I love the gang vocals. It's very Guy Picciotto, the way that he would always, not to discredit the three of them, but the way
it is
that, you know, you would have the main vocal, in this case, Kathleen, and then you would also have a foil coming in and out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fair comparison because Kathleen Hanna's bandmate Kathy Wilcox is married to Guy Picciotto.
Totally.
So I'm sure, you know, they come from the same circle of friends and even musicianship. So it's right there.
Yeah, and they were totally inspired. You know, the whole Riot Girl thing was very inspired by the whole DC thing and Absolutely. Guy and Ian. Yeah, so that's well said. Yeah, totally agree.
Darian's so smart.
I know, it's awesome.
It's making me a little nervous. I don't know.
I just like music.
Do you have five shows in you a week? Because if you do, then I might be in trouble.
Might be calling them up.
Yeah. I saw the Julie Ruin, the new Julie Ruin.
Yeah,
so you mentioned
that
the first Julie Ruin was just sort of like Kathleen doing some like self-recording
project.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But now she has like a band, and a couple of years ago they played at Black Cat.
Yeah,
and that was a really great show, and it was actually kind of similar to this style too. But I find what I really liked seeing her perform and hearing this kind of like mix of, you know, this harder edged. Kind of provocative music,
which
was like some dance, you know, beats and dance, you know, techniques, things like that, is it seems today more punk rock than people who are trying to, you know, play sort of traditional punk rock.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah, and they purposefully, you know, from what I understand about reading, when they put this band together, they wanted to play sort of little kind of crappy electronic keyboards that they didn't really know how to play because they wanted to be able to get that spirit out of it of just learning your instrument. And you can hear the way they put the electronics together and kind of cut it back and forth. I was able to see this group on this first album tour at the Black Cat at the backstage. I was really lucky to get into that show. I just happened to show up, you know, and buy a ticket. But part of seeing, you know, Kathleen is the stuff she says in between the songs is like so amazing. It's like her and Billy Bragg are two of the greatest people to listen to talk between songs. Like it's almost better than the songs a lot of the times. But I remember one of the songs she dedicated at this show. It's always stuck with me. This opening line to introduce a song was, have you ever felt so sad that all you wanted to do is lay on the floor and do a puzzle of the Baby Muppets? And then they started the song. I thought that was a particularly great intro. I've felt that sad before.
I think we've all been there.
That's right.
Describes it pretty well. Now, here's another thing I think more bands should do. So listen up.
Yeah,
ready?
Okay.
Fuzz bass. Think about that.
I have very strong particular feelings on that topic.
Okay. Well, you have a microphone.
Well, no, if you're going to, you know, there's two schools of thought. There's the Jesus Lizard way of putting fuzz or some hair on the bass. And then there's... Who Touch Me, I'm Sick. What's the name of that band?
Mudhoney.
And then there's the Mudhoney way. As far as bringing to the stage. In the studio, we have producers. You can labor over production for weeks and weeks, but on the stage, and the band Pity Sex actually fell victim to this. If you're going to put fuzz on the bass, you got to maintain the low end, or else it gets scooped and lost in the mix.
Right.
That's
interesting.
All. That's all.
Yeah.
So with you on this one. Yeah, because I don't know what came out in the end, but in some dudes, there was a lot of fuzz bass, but I don't remember what happened to the... I was so confused. I was like, where did the bass go?
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Because it became a fuzz bass.
Right.
And then I was like, we lost our low end, but then I don't know what's happening now. So I'd have to go back and have you dissect it, all of you, and tell me later.
Yeah, so I agree. Some hair on the bass is great as long as you maintain the fundamental low end.
That's a great point.
Well, and I also think it makes a difference. Are you trying to make the bass line... you know, sort of a key part of the song that you really pay attention to, or is it more sort of a supporting part of a song, right? And that makes a difference too on what kind of effect.
I think the little bit goes a real long way because I think you can't use fuzz or distortion or volume as like a shortcut to a big sound. I mean, it's got to be used just in the right way. You see a lot of like maybe amateur bands, they're just playing, it's just loud, noisy, and distorted, and it doesn't necessarily sound big or cool. But a track like this, I mean, it's just the right amount. I mean, that bass tone is pretty key, I think, to the song. sound of the song.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting to me about this album is that they actually got production post-production help from Chris Stamey of the DBs. Now, if you think of the DBs, that's a jangle band,
right?
Like of all the jangle bands, right? And yet here he was.
I like that song a lot. I have to say, I listened to that album a lot in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and I haven't listened to it in a long time, so it's really refreshing.
Yeah, it still sounds great, and that whole album with My Metro Card, and there's a ton of really, really good songs on that record. Yeah, what a special figure she is in American music and all of them, right? That, you know, they've really held up as sort of icons for another generation, too, which I think is really awesome. My own offspring, MJ, is a really, really big La Tigra fan.
So he passed. Patrick passed?
Did.
All right.
I got another 6 months before I have to pick another one.
Thumbs up.
Start thinking now.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about Pyramid Scheme here in a second.
Yeah.
Let's tell people, though, that if the listeners have Perfect Pop picks,
right,
we would welcome that mm-hmm. feedback. And
if you have a fuzz bass song.
It doesn't have to be.
But that could be interesting.
But that would be pretty cool.
Be really cool.
We're going to do fuzz bass week at some point.
Oh, that'd be great. We could do Fuzz Bass Week. That would be amazing.
That would be something. Nobody's done that before.
I don't think anybody has.
Where am I going with this? Oh, yeah.
Know.
So we want to hear Perfect Pop selections from...
The listeners.
The listeners. Mm-hmm. They can... The best thing to do is call and tell us about the song you think is perfect and why. And we'll put your voice on a future show. And people really like that. They like to hear not just your explanation, but you know, the emotion that comes through and
that's
all
right.
that. So the way to do that is to call 612-440-1984. There you go. That's it.
That's
pretty simple.
Do.
Everybody's got mm-hmm. a phone these days.
Yep.
I think you don't
You're
have
stuck
to
in
like
traffic.
Yeah. It's not a situation where you got to call up, dial up an operator,
no.
have them patch you through.
You
it's pretty easy.
You can go hands-free probably and do it right. Like in your car. You can just speak to your car and it will make it happen.
Just calls.
Yeah.
You can, if you'd prefer, you can email rock@suburbspod.com.
That works.
Or you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram @suburbspod. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the band Pyramid Scheme.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you guys tell the listeners a little bit about the cover on the EP? I think it's really fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's really, really cool. Who did that work and does it represent anything in particular?
Yeah, so I can talk about that.
Okay.
And let me tell you, this is a great question for audio.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, absolutely. I'll paint the picture. So about around winter, I was looking at different collages on Pinterest just to see examples because I was going to try to do something. I'm a designer on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I found this guy and his art. His name is Ayhem Jabbar. He lives in Syria. He has amazing collages like the cover. He has so many of them, and he was kind enough to let us use it.
Wow.
And there's so many more, and I picked that one, or we talked about picking that one because there's a lot of red in it. There's the construction or the composition has kind of a pyramid convergence.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are guns and eyeballs on the image, which feels very American and Illuminati, so... Why not?
I feel like there's a lot of like old like Buzzcocks albums that had like a similar thing.
Yeah, that's
but with
true.
Like, you know, clothes irons on top of breasts and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right.
I forget who
yeah.
the artist was, but it's that reminded me of that.
That's
just
a
now.
Great point.
It's very cool.
It
so,
is really
so
cool. Get
what
rich
I would recommend is don't just stream the album, but you want to get a copy of the CD
to be able to check it
because
out.
Because then that way you mm-hmm. you know that's you have a little.
There's additional
artwork
art on
in
the
home.
CD itself, it looks like, that you probably won't get when you're streaming. So, there you go. It's a slightly larger version of that. So, I love it.
This is true. And it's limited edition, those CDs.
So, there
so
you go.
They're going fast.
Oh. And is this a sticker that's included in every copy?
Sure, yeah.
There you go. That's another reason, Jim.
Very good. Okay. Where can people purchase the CD?
The CD can be found at all your favorite music retailers. Spotify, Google Music, Tidal, Apple Music. And of course, if you want to go to the website, that's Pyramid Scheme with an I instead of a Y, you'll find links that will redirect you to all of the aforementioned places. Or if you'd like to order a CD direct from us at our Bandcamp location.
Very good.
Perfect.
And it's not like a subscription deal, cancel at any time.
Oh,
none
no,
of those things.
No,
you know.
There's no hassle.
Yeah.
Right.
You just get the goods.
If you go to suburbspod.com/pyramid scheme, you can not find it there.
No.
You got to go where
you can't find it
said
there.
No.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't know what you'll find there.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Sam will have to investigate
that. Work on
that,
Sam.
Okay, so we're making our way through the EP, Get Rich Quick 2, and we're up to a song. I know this song.
I do too.
Regular Guy. Mm-hmm. I've heard that before. Tell us a little bit about Regular Guy.
So Regular Guy, I recorded and released on Estranged, and then decided, you know, I think we played it a lot, and it had a different vibe, especially with Darian playing with us. And so we kind of reshaped it a little bit. Bassline totally different. Mm-hmm. Some of the song structure is different, and then the way I sing it is different. So it just has a different vibe, and I think that best exemplifies the difference of before as a solo artist and now as a band.
Yeah, this the version of Regular Guy that's on Get Rich Quick 2 actually was tracked in completion twice. It was Lisa after redoing the guitar structure, Lisa and I decided to revamp the bass part and meticulously tore it apart and, you know, decided how it would best fit around the vocals. So a lot of labor went into this version of the song.
Oh, that's so cool. I love it when there are multiple versions of the same song, especially when it's a really good song like this.
Yeah. And if people want to hear a previous version performed live, they can find that.
That's right.
On a previous episode of Rock in the Suburbs. We'll make sure we link to that out of the article for this episode.
That's right. It's
a lovely suburbspod.com.
Lovely version.
Yes. Very nice. So what you're going to hear here is more rocked up.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we'll hear that. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Darian Day.
Lisa Sight.
Andrew Toy.
Thanks a lot for having us over. And we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
Is that one of those delivery services in DC where you get a gift with your purchase, buy a $100 t-shirt,